Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I am Stephen Lane.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you both?
I am still on cloud nine post-Eurovision, I am not going to lie.
I was going to say, I've been thinking about you all weekend. Talk me through it, because you were having a Eurovision party.
Yeah, I did. I had 13 people in the end come round. And it went really well, which was great. I cooked loads of food, too much food. I've still got bottles and bottles of booze because everyone bought booze, but like we've got so much booze that we couldn't even drink it all. So I've got loads of booze left, which is great. We watched the show and laughed and cried. I will admit, I had shed a little tear watching Ukraine win and Sam Ryder, Essex's finest, come second.
Last week on the show, your predictions were you definitely thought UK top four, didn't you? So to be second is amazing.
I'm super, super stoked. And I think, I don't know if you saw clips of his performance, but he was spot on, like note perfect. There was this whole guitar solo that he did, and it was just really well done. And like just the UK getting 12 points from all these countries, I was like, I was a bit nervous because, you know, I live in a small flat, I've got neighbours all around. And I was a bit like, oh, I don't want to make too much noise, blah, blah. And then eventually when these 12 points are coming in, I was like,
I
was like, the neighbours are just going to have to deal with it. And to be fair, I didn't get any complaints, you know, so all good.
What was the vibe? I'm guessing everyone's over the moon. But when the 12 started rolling in, because that's something that has never happened, is it? Or certainly not for years.
We got 1-12 in 2017. Like, there's my knowledge. Prior to that, we haven't had any for years and years and years. It was just really total. And it's nice as well because you kind of believe that he's like a real artist who's going to have a career. Do you know what I mean? He's not going to like disappear off the back of it. He's been on like, I saw him over the last couple of days. He's been on Lorraine and BBC Breakfast and like all these big radio shows. He did Capital and stuff. And like, I don't know. It's just like, I think it's like nice to think that going forward, the acts that consider doing Eurovision will be better because of him. You know what I mean?
And not only is he an amazing singer, obviously, but just from what I've seen in interviews and heard since, just seems the most lovely man and just the most gracious and was just more than happy to be second. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's a lovely thing. That's a man with a big heart.
Yeah, definitely get that vibe. Big hair, big heart. He's definitely like a great ambassador for the UK. And I think it ends that sort of thing where it's like, oh, Europe hates us and we're never going to win. We could have won. It was a close run thing. And to come second, you know, it's never been the case that people hate the UK. It's just that the songs weren't good enough. And this song was like top notch and really well performed. So anyway, I could blab on all night.
Can people do Eurovision twice?
Yeah.
The same person return?
Yeah, and they have done in the past. I think what it means is that, and Sam Ryder himself said this, that like, him doing so well will like show artists that this is a viable platform for you to like build your career on. And so hopefully next year we'll get a better caliber of people coming through even more so, and giving the BBC more choice of who they're going to put forward as our act. Anyway, Bob, how are you? Are you all right?
I'm really good, thank you, babe. Still just been getting settled into the new place, but I'm getting there. Ordered some garden furniture.
Oh, of course. Well, with this glorious heat. Yeah.
It's going to take about 2 weeks, so I'm fingers crossed that we've still got sun in 2 weeks. I'm sure we will.
I'm optimistic
that we're going to have a good summer. So, yeah, just really good. Getting settled.
And I saw you were buying some smellies today.
I've got this new obsession. I say new obsession. I've kind of been a bit obsessed with candles and reeds for a while. But I just love a diffuser and all things scents, you know, like room sprays, candles.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of going a bit bit extreme on that now, so I've kind of got to calm down because there's just reeds in it's just all over the place.
You have to, I remember when I lived with a friend of mine a couple of years ago, and I remember saying to her, she used to light like all of her scented candles at once, they'd all be different smells, and I'd be like, you're just overpowering everything, like why don't you just light one?
Yeah.
And that will do the job. You don't need every room to smell like, you know, I don't know, peach blossom or chocolate.
You're going to cancel everything out as well, aren't yeah. you? I'm a little bit of a pomegranate boy.
Okay.
So just always forever and a day, I've loved pomegranate. Jo Malone just do the most amazing. Just the nuts. And but like you say, you can't be mixing the scents.
Well, also it gives me a bit of a headache. I get a bit like too many and I'm a bit like, oh, it's a bit like, do you ever find if you go to like a aftershave shop or something, and or like if you're in duty free or something and you're smelling them all, and eventually it all just becomes the same smell. You
it's
can't
like
really
nose blind, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Like it really is like a thing. Yeah. And my head's a bit like, oh God, I need to like step away from this. It's like too much. Not imagine how the people that work there must feel constantly being surrounded by it.
I think you must become immune to it.
Yeah, you must, right? Otherwise it'd be awful. But then at least I guess you come home from work smelling lovely every day. There's no doubt
this is
about that.
This is definitely a perk. But I think when you have the same scent, and like I say, because I've always loved pomegranate, I think you kind of become a bit immune. It's like, do you ever remember going around a friend? This sounds a really weird thing to say, but you'd go around a friend's house at school and the smell of their washing pack, like things like that. People's houses have a smell.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can often always smell your own when you're so used to having 44 reeds and candles, all the same smell. It kind of just becomes a little bit, your pomegranate-ed out. long may the weather last.
Yes, it's been lovely, hasn't it? And usually when I'm doing this now, I'm in the office, but today I couldn't be because I had someone come around to really, really exciting stuff to look at my boiler. and usually, you know, on my lunch times, if I'm at home, I like a tiny little nap. But today I was like, no, do you know what? It's too nice outside to have a nap. So I went for a little walk. I popped into Sainsbury's. Got myself a little can of Coke, living the dream, just soak it up because you never know in the UK when it's going to end. So
yeah, from 1 hour to the next, it's always like just never take it for granted.
Exactly. Yeah, because literally it could be pissing down rain in 5 minutes. So who knows? Well, we have an exciting show coming up tonight, and actually a bit of a reunion for me. So at the end of the show, we've got Joanna Simonides, who I did this show with before you came along, Bob. So it'd be great to talk to her. But first up, we have Dr. Alex George. So it's actually a bit of a Love Island special.
Fest.
Yeah, Love Island Love Fest this evening. But we discussed Eurovision, but there is another big story that's still doing the rounds, isn't there, Bob?
Would this be Wagatha Christie?
yes, it would be Wagatha Christie. Good Lord.
Yeah, I know we touched upon it briefly last week, and I'm not sure. I think it ends this week. I think there should be a conclusion by the end of this. I'm still very much in the mindset of not knowing how this is going to go. I mean, I've seen on social media today that I think Colleen's had to provide... Well, I've seen screen grabs of the three fake stories that she'd put on her Insta story. Mm-hmm. I think one was about a flood. One was about gender selection, and one I think was about her car. And it's still going strong, but it's so hard to kind of call it.
Yeah, I think we'll wait and see in the end what the outcome is. I don't feel like, I think when today I saw some text messages that Rebecca Vardy had been exchanging with her agent, which is embarrassing enough for them to have to come out in public, do you know what I mean, as part of this trial. I feel like she's not coming out of this too well, but to be honest, neither of them are really.
What are the texts? I've not seen the texts.
Talking about stories and getting them into the papers and things. So, you know, it's complicated, and obviously it's like a libel situation, so I don't want to get anyone in trouble that, certainly not myself. But you know, I think, I like I said, no one's really coming out of this well. And I think today Wayne and Jamie were also involved for the first time. So the husbands were getting involved. And I think I saw a good meme where it's like Jamie and Wayne looking at each other, just being like, God, like rolling their eyes and being like, Jesus Christ, we still like our wives still going through all of this. The one thing I do think is funny as well, though, is that like, there's been comment that like, Rebecca Vardy hasn't looked at Colleen once during the trial, whereas Colleen really? Has basically been like staring her down when she's been like, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. The whole thing's just a bit of a mess, isn't it? I think with that and Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, it makes you realise why people quite often don't go to court for libel issues, because, like, you have to have everything out there, everything you've discussed and things, private discussions that you've had with people made public. I don't know.
It becomes very messy, doesn't it? I think, and we touched upon it last week, allegedly what I've been seeing online, I think whoever is to win this case, and that's even if anyone does someone have to win? I mean, I'm not very good with stuff like this, but I think whatever the
outcome,
whatever the outcome will be, I think both sides will be spending more on legal and lawyers and their legal teams than is even... then they're going to recuperate, which it shows. I think it's obviously coming down to both wanting to prove they're right. And I guess it's not about money now. It's about
reputation.
It's that kind of thing. Like you say, once it gets to the situation where taxis and I don't know, it's...
I would certainly not want my texts that I send to people out in the public eye. I mean, like, and I'm not even trying to sell stories, you know what I mean? Like, because anyone's phone is their private property, right?
Of course,
like,
yeah.
And to have to, like, I don't know, I just think I'd be, like, I don't know, just be, like, nah, thanks. I'd rather just get on with my life.
Do you reckon will be the outcome of it? Do you reckon we'll see just a... let's just both agree to disagree?
Honestly, can't tell, because it's not my area of expertise. Do you know what I mean? This sort of thing. I don't know what, like you kind of said, it's just a bit of a mess, isn't it, really? I certainly wouldn't want to go through it. And I wouldn't want anyone I know to go through it either. Do you know what I mean? Like, just that whole thing. But there you go. That's the nature of the beast. There was also some sad news this week. I know we touched on it before, that Britney Spears sadly lost the baby that she was expecting. I think it was all in the fairly early stages, but it's still a pretty devastating story for her. And her, well, is it husband now? I'm a bit unsure. It is husband, Sam, isn't it?
Or is it fiancé still?
Well, they kind of suggest that they, because she's been calling him her husband and stuff, but there's nothing actually been seen, I don't think, because she doesn't really go out and, like, you don't see her get packed or anything anymore, do you? Like,
no. You don't see her just rocking up at
Nobu. Yeah. You know, it's always Nobu, isn't it? It's like, that's the place.
Always. Always. But yeah, heartbreaking for her, because I know, obviously, after she spoke about the I can never say the word.
Conservatorship.
I can never say that. Yeah, after all of that, I know that she was very much, obviously, over the moon, and they wanted to start a family. And,
well, because she said, didn't she? She was forced to take to keep her birth control in, you know, using birth control and things. So, as part of her conservatorship, so this was her sort of freedom of choice, you know.
Yeah. Oh, bless her. Well, love and hugs to Britney.
Yeah, yeah, and also I've heard rumours that she is going to be coming back with some new music. So, at some point, and. And I'm looking forward to that because
I'm here for it. Come and do a London tour. I want to see you at the O2.
Yeah, 100%. She was actually the first big gig I ever went to when I was about 15.
That was really amazing.
It was really good. Yeah, it was the Onyx Hotel tour. I remember. Yeah, where did we see it? I can't even... Anyway, it was an exciting time, and I feel a bit. I've always loved her, like, ever since, you know what I mean? So I think anything, new music or anything that she does will be very exciting.
She's definitely on my list. So, you know, I'm guessing everyone does. I certainly do have a list of people that you want to see live.
Yeah.
She's out there.
Yeah.
As with Adele. There's a few people on there.
Get yourself to Vegas.
This is it. Yeah. Get yourself to Vegas and get a Britney ticket.
Yeah. Fun times. All right, cool. Well, our first guest, Dr. Alex George, is here, so let's get him in.
Fab.
Hey.
Hello, Alex. How are you doing?
Good, thanks, Bobby. How are you doing? What's going on?
Really good, thank you. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Not at all. Thanks for having me.
I've got a bone to pick with you, Dr. Alex, because you are the reason I joined TikTok, which is now one of the biggest things of my life. It was my biggest.
TikTok's it's a rabbit hole, isn't it, that place?
Yeah, it just sucks up all your time, and then suddenly you realise 2 hours have gone by. But it was it was something you posted. I can't remember what it was. And I was like, well, this looks like a fun thing. Maybe I'll download TikTok. And then suddenly now it's...
Well, thank you. I'm sorry at the same time.
I hate to make you feel bad, but yeah. You know.
It's definitely one you have a screen time for, right? Doesn't it? You need that screen time.
The lock so that it doesn't let you... anyway, how are you doing? How have you been?
Good. Yeah, good. It's been a busy... Like, mental health wins so busy, and like the week before, and yes, it good. But I'm trying to have a little bit more of a gentler week this week because it was a lot last week.
I mean, it's such an amazing thing, isn't it? And I wanted to ask you, obviously, if anything you do with mental health, like, people are slowly speaking about it more, which is amazing. But there's still, even after the last few years of people saying it's okay to not be okay and that we should be speaking more, there still seems to be a bit of a taboo for some people, isn't there? Do you find that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a survey I saw the other day, it should still, you know, and this is a recent survey, less than half of people, Brits, are happy to actually talk about their mental health. So we are doing a lot better. And I think actually, if you looked at that stat maybe 5 years ago, I reckon that would be a lot worse. So I think we're improving, but I think there's still work to be done. I think there's a huge issue amongst male mental health at the moment still. We know that men are 10 times more likely to take their own lives. And we know that men in general, you know, a lot of men find it very difficult to actually reach out, ask for help and go and get help. So as much as it's important to focus on resources and funding towards mental health services, you've got to get men to talk. And so ultimately, you know, that's the whole premise of why ITV2 and the Calm campaign around how we move is so important. It's trying to look at ways you can kind of engage people. There's not this kind of mental health above the door stigma. It's like doing it in a different way that people don't feel as taboo about it.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about this show and what's involved.
Yeah, so How We Move, the kind of idea is that we speak to three pairs of friends who are celebrities and talk to them about the ways they get through life, you know, from dealing with the, you know, stress, looking after themselves in the good times, and then particularly focusing on ways that are not the kind of obvious ones. Like, people, you know, associate self-care, well-being with, you know, having a bath and putting a candle on, and that's fine, but, you know, that's not for everyone. I love a bath and a candle, but I mean, it really isn't for everyone. And so it's finding ways that, you know, hearing stories, I guess, from people that do it in a different way. For example, nail painting, hula hooping, handstands, we've had rapping, we've had hoovering, organizing stationery. So there's all sorts of things people do. And I think it's should go, do you know what? Self-care doesn't have to be this kind of like, you know, one-dimensional thing. It can be whatever it is that helps you be in the present more, worry less, and feel more at peace.
What's your go-to, Alex, if you're having a day or an hour where you're feeling it a little bit more? What would you do?
I think the lifesaver for me has been, and particularly throughout the pandemic, is going for a little stomp, go outside for a walk, a bit of fresh air, whether it's raining or it's windy or it's sunny, like going outside for a good walk and just being like out in fresh air, it makes a huge difference for me. If I can't get outside in the daytime or I can't get out and it's been a really busy day, I feel really like pent up. So I need to just go for a walk just to clear my head. And I usually put a bit of music on and, you know, you just kind of you just like stop worrying about things, you let things go. And by the time I get back out, I seem to always feel a lot better. So I love that. I do love a bath bomb. And I love a bit of classical music, you know, I like a bit of classical music on. And those things just really help. Other things as well, I mean, not so much living in London, but, you know, being able to go for a drive and stuff as well. I think driving, something about therapeutic about driving. And funny enough, one of the trends that has picked up throughout a lot of lockdown in recent months and stuff as well is people watching YouTube videos of people just drive, like watching dash cams of driving. So people are sitting on YouTube and just watching the roads as people are driving. It sounds like, why would you like that? But when you actually watch one, it's quite therapeutic. It's quite like, ah.
I think it's one of those, like, it's a switch off thing, isn't it? I actually felt exactly the same as you, Alex. Like, I started walking in the pandemic, and I started walking every morning before I was working, because I realized otherwise it would get sort of 6 p.m. or whatever, and in winter, and I wouldn't be going outside for days on end. So I started walking, and now I do it all the time. Like every day I try and aim, well, for at least 9,000, but usually around 14,000 steps I do, like most
days.
That's
fantastic.
But then also as well, I'm actually part of a rowing club, which I joined in the pandemic. And that when I do row, my phone is not on me. I do nothing but focus on the actual task in front of me. I'm not thinking about anything else other than not falling in the water. And I think, like, it's like that everyone needs that thing to like switch off. And if that is watching like a YouTube video of people driving, or if it's walking or running or meditating, do you know what I mean? That everyone needs to find their thing.
Well, it's interesting if you look at extreme athletes, so people who do like base jumping, all this kind of stuff. This is, I'm not suggesting people start base jumping, by the way. But if you talk about like that fear, that absolute fear, and that 8 seconds of falling that gives you such a sense of being present that you actually feel calm. Now, again, that's not for me. I don't move that way. But, you know, everyone has different ways of dealing with things, don't they? And I think whatever it is that brings you back that present moment and stops you worrying about things. I mean, my friend actually texted me. She's a GP, and she texted me. We were chatting yesterday, and she's, "Oh, I've just painted my nails the last hour." And then I was like, "Oh, you know, do you enjoy doing that?" And she's like, "Yeah, it's the hour a week that I spend painting my nails that I'm just so focused on drawing." She draws like art on her nails, but that she's so focused on the art that there isn't any noise.
Mm.
What about you, Bobby? What do you do? What do you like to do?
You've hit the nail on the head. I think for me, like, I started training in the pandemic, which is the strangest time because it's as the gym shut. So I literally had a couple of dumbbells and was kind of just in a garden in Essex doing what I can. Mm. And I think for the time I'm training, it's just getting out of my own head. Because I no time to think or worry or be anxious over things. And sometimes I think with anxiety, or the majority of times, you don't know what you're anxious about. Some people go, "Well, what is it you're worried about?" And I go, you can't describe it. It's just that feeling that's inside. But for me, like when we was allowed out for that hour a day walk, training, doing like even for me, cooking, I found was such a big thing. When we were so limited in all them lockdowns that we had, just doing things like, and organising. I love a good clear out of like the wardrobes, cupboards, drawers. But I think that's the key, stepping back and kind of just almost losing yourself and shutting off the noise and whatever works for you, whether like say music, reading. I know a lot of people reached out on social media and said there's like the ASMR. Mm. People love watching soap being cut and the sounds of things like that. But I think amazing, the minute you've found something that's your go-to, I think can only be a good thing.
But it's like, you know, for example, for people, I think, who are going, "Well, how do I start? And, you know, how do I decide what I want to do?" I think if you're going to have one thing that's movement and one thing that's creative based, you're off to a good start. So whether that's going out simply for a walk, or whether it is running or exercising, swimming or whatever it is, and then doing something creative. Creativity is amazing for bringing yourself to the present, because when you're being creative, you're focusing on the now. You are creating something. So whether it's, you know, I just bought a little starter pack for painting a canopy. You know, just painting, you know, a simple way with a bit, you know, simple kind of mixes of paint. And I'm not arty at all, but I thought, you know, well, why don't I try it? Because, you know, when I'm trying to learn to do this and trying to draw whatever or paint whatever, you're in that moment. So if you can do a little bit of creativity, whether it's playing with music or whether it's playing Wordle or whatever it is, you know, people love that game at the moment. Doesn't matter what it is, but doing something that engages you in the moment, that's not, a task for your work or your homework or for your exams. It's something you're doing just for the pleasure of doing it.
Absolutely. If someone was listening to this now, Alex, and wanted to speak to someone but doesn't know how to go about it or thinks that they might be struggling, what advice would you give them?
Well, the first thing I'd say is self-awareness is the first step. So I often say to people, if you're asking yourself, do I need help? Your answer is there for you. You know, it's often you find people going, oh, do I need help? Am I bad enough? Do I need this? And they leave it for months and years. Okay. If you're thinking those thoughts, get help. You're better off getting help and finding out actually you get back to a better place really quickly and you're fine, then you are not doing it, becoming much worse and finding it more difficult to come back. So self-awareness, listen to your feelings, listen to your body, listen to that tightness you might be feeling. If you're feeling anxious, look at your behaviors. Are you finding that you're avoiding doing things with your mates now that you used to do? You're not exercising, you're not getting excited about work and things. Notice those things and react to them. And I think I advise people that there's three circles, general circles that people have in their life: their friends, their family, the friends and family in one circle, you know, professional people, so doctors, charity, professionals, if you like, in that circle, and then people in your workplace or your school or your college. If you can talk to one person from each, those are the main kind of patches in your life covered, so that someone knows in each of those key areas what's going on and how you're feeling. And I think having that conversation is often easiest when you're going for a walk with someone, when you're driving with someone, or you're busy doing something, because it's hard sometimes to sit down opposite someone and go, I'm struggling. But when you're walking with someone, you're both looking forward, it's easier to talk about it. And you can talk about when you'll feel ready. You don't under pressure, right, sat together and talk now. It comes into conversation when you're ready. Same with driving, same with going on the bus or whatever. So it's just find the moment you feel comfortable, talk to the person you feel that you can trust. And then really it is that important thing from that first person you talk to is going, well, I probably need to speak to someone in a professional sense, to speak to your GP or a charity, a member of a mental health charity or so on. And then it's talking to your workplace as well, because ultimately it's important for colleagues to know that things are tough, because often, you know, it might be stress and you're stressed at work. If you don't deal with that problem at work, it's not going to get better. So don't be afraid. Be brave about talking. It's a strength to recognize when you're struggling, because ultimately you get back to a better place. You know, I think it is much better to deal with the problem early, be open and get help, than it is to let it become a big problem. And as I say, don't be ashamed. There's no shame about it at all.
You've also become like a real, in recent years, like a real body positivity, like sort of ambassador, I guess you could say as well. Like, are you surprised, like, having done Love Island, you've suddenly become like your path is quite different to how most of the guys come off the show and work? Like, is that a surprise to you? Or, you know,
I think you learn in life, and then people ask me about, you know, reality TV and everything, but you learn by going through this, and then and we evolve as a society, don't we? And like, I've learned so much more about myself, and I've learned what makes me tick, and I look at times when I was overtraining, under eating, was so critical of my body, and I was probably amongst the most unhappy I'd been. Whereas when I actually just go, you know, I eat to fuel my body, I move because it helps my brain and it keeps me healthy, my body healthy, I enjoy the process. And I think for anyone that's going, it's hard to go to the gym or it's hard to exercise, focus on the process rather than the product. So if you create goals, I need to look a certain way or whatever, you're either going to get frustrated on the way trying to get there and going, oh, I can't get there, I can't achieve it. Or you're going to get fed up and bored of it on the way. Or when you achieve that goal, you go, I've achieved it now. And then you stop. If you want to sustain a habit, it needs to be the focus on creating a habit that lasts, remove barriers, and really, really enjoy the process. You know, sometimes when I'm in the gym, and I'm like, oh, I just don't want to be here. I can't bother with it today. Say when I'm swimming or whatever, I go, no, gratitude. I'm grateful to be able to move. I enjoy it. And listen to your body. And if you think about it, that feeling of just like movement and just getting out energy, it is a good feeling, even if it's hard at times. And I always say to people, you never regret a workout. You regret not going. You never regret and come back, go, gosh, I'm so annoyed that I went. Why did I bother that workout? You know, you always enjoy, always feel better for it. So yeah, it's that process that really helps.
That's so true. And not just reality TV. Do you think in general there is a pressure now from social media? I think so many people are guilty of comparing their lives, their bodies, what they've got and what they haven't got to everyone else. People that they might not even know or have ever met, but they just follow them. Do you think that's become a huge thing now on social media?
Well, humans compare. Humans have been comparing each other themselves to other people since the beginning of time, practically, when it comes to the human race. And social media just basically propagates that. And the problem is with social media, you can have unfair playing fields, i.e. you're comparing against someone that's displaying perfect images that maybe is only showing highlight reels of good times, and you're not seeing those bad times. So actually, you're not making a fair comparison because you're judging yourself in a natural, normal way and seeing your whole life against someone that you're only seeing a highlight reel. So I think the importance there really is that we need to educate young people. And this is what I'm really passionate about, educating young people to understand that, understand the pitfalls of social media, where the good parts are and how to utilize the good platforms, you know, how to know who to follow, how to use, you know, things like blocking off hate messaging and things like that. There's lots of things we educate around social media so that people use this tool, which is what it is, in a positive way and are aware of the potential risks of social media, so that if you're kind of falling into that trap, you're able to recognize it. You know, if you start comparing yourself and you're criticizing yourself and go, hang on, no, that person is almost certainly editing, I'm looking at a perfect image, they've got perfect light, might have done 100 photos for that. That isn't them. And I think the sooner we're able to accept that, the better. And it took me a long time to do it myself, but I just post myself as I am, because I am who I am. And once you learn to be comfortable in your own skin, you're very, very, you know, you're very resilient, I think.
So true. Like, I'm a massive believer that comparison's the thief of joy. And
exactly,
you could look at people on social media, but that photo, like you hit the nail on the head, they've probably took 100 photos. They've picked their favorite out of the 100. It might have had a little bit of face tune. It might have a cheeky filter on it. And also, no one in the middle of a row, say with a partner, goes, oh, let me grab the phone and take a photo of this. Yeah, you don't see that side. Mm. So people, it really is that they're showing their version of their best life.
Yeah.
But that's not everyone's life behind closed doors. That's no one's life.
Not even images. It's just images. I mean, I was hearing about a doctor saying, comparing to other doctors that's achieving, they're doing so well, and, oh, gosh, I'm not doing that. I need to work harder or whatever. And you're right. It does steal that joy. And also it steals gratitude from yourself. Going, do you know what? I'm actually grateful for the things. My life's not perfect. No one's is. But I'm grateful for what I have. And I think that gratitude is not just about saying, well, thank you. It's about really feeling the joy from that gratitude, like, you know, realizing, gosh, like, yeah, I might not have achieved everything that I set out to in my life so far, but I am actually doing quite a lot. I'm enjoying it, enjoying that process, and I'm in the moment. Because otherwise you're constantly going, oh gosh, I need to do better, I need to do more. And when does it end? You know, where does it end?
Well, speaking of enjoying stuff, you've obviously had quite a journey since being on Love Island. What's been some highlights for you, like, in your life and career?
I think, you know, it's a bittersweet being youth mental health ambassador, I think is a highlight. I think, you know, it's for me, I feel proud to be in this role. I absolutely, my favorite part of it is going to schools and colleges. Like, it does genuinely make you feel, it tops up that cup, you know, big time. Mm. You know, I've been very fortunate, I'd say, as well, you know, outside that, you know, to be able to go and do and see amazing things. Like, I love sport and I love music, so I've gone to watch concerts and stuff. So, you know, there's obviously things for you, both professionally in the mental health space, but also personally, I feel very lucky and very grateful for. And it's important to recognize those things. So yeah, and I also think it's given me a real opportunity to, you know, do what I enjoy. Like, I love education, I love teaching, and in many ways a lot of the stuff I do on socials is that education, you know, and it allows me to follow the things I'm passionate about.
And it's obviously all turned out quite well for you, and you're doing great work.
Yeah, well, there's ups and downs. I mean, look, there's good days, there's bad days. And I think, you know, I believe quite a lot, like yin and yang, good and bad. There's a good and bad in everything. And, you know, it's learning to decide in life whether you can deal with the bad points and are they worth the good points of what you're doing. And mm-hmm. for me, they are. And the balance is generally good. But, you know, there are obviously difficult times. Being in the public eye isn't always an easy thing. And, you know, you guys know that it's not an easy space to be in. But at the same time, you know, you get the opportunity to do things you're passionate about, and I think that is for me is why it's all worth it, really.
So true. And I think taking away from this is you completely are so right. Gratitude for everything, isn't it? It really is key, because it's taking that moment back and that step back and just being grateful for being able to get in the pool and do that swim or go for that walk.
Yeah, exactly. You know, gratitude is very important. If you wake up in the morning, you're feeling, yeah, I'm going to be a bad day today, do say, and I do this when I feel bad in the morning, five things you're grateful for. And by the time you say the fifth thing, I guarantee you, you'll feel much better about it, you know, and work out those ways that you can move. And if, you know, if anyone listening, watching, you know, check out, you know, how we move. It's really, I think it's inspiring to see people, you know, genuinely inspiring to see people that are in the public eye. People think, oh gosh, are they, you know, they're just going to talk about going for a walk or whatever. And they give all these weird ways that, you know, weird and wonderful ways that they kind of look after themselves. I think it just normalizes self-care. I think everyone should practice self-care, whether you feel good or bad or in between. It's a good thing to do. And I think investing in yourself allows you to have a better chance of being happy and healthy. No one's happy all the time, but if you invest yourself, you're much more likely to have more happy days. And I think surely what we all want in life for ourselves, our family, our friends, is for people to be happy and to be healthy. That's it, right?
There is nothing else. That is the most important thing. Yes. Where can we catch How We Move?
So you can, we'll see it in our ITV Hub and also ITV Hub and ITV2 YouTube channel. But yeah, check it out. And it's been really good fun. We're a right mix of characters. We've got more episodes coming. And, you know, I've had a lot of fun.
Great. I can't wait to check it out. Dr. Alex, thanks so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it. And really informative and important chat, I think.
Yeah, thank you both. Absolutely. Have a lovely evening. Take care, guys.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Bye. I feel like sometimes we get people on and they're just like, you know, they're just love it.
And I think such an important chat, hitting so many important messages for people that are sat at home listening to this now. And it's inspiring, really, isn't it? To just sit back and kind of just listen to that 20-minute conversation and think, do you know what? You're not alone. And
I think
he really, really made some amazing points.
I had quite an interesting chat just today, actually, with a friend of mine who we were talking about how quite often, like I'm single, right? And I've been single for a long time. And quite often people think that if you're single, then you must be like sad and like depressed and stuff. And I said, do you know what the funny thing is? I actually think I'm quite content with my life. And sometimes it's the people in couples that are having like a really difficult time, but it's like, there's like a stigma attached, isn't it? It's like in Bridget Jones, you know, it's like where she goes for dinner and she's the only single one. And she's like, it doesn't help. My whole body's covered in fur. That's why I'm so terrifying to like single men and stuff. Like, I think like even stuff like that, we just need to like break that sort of, like, yeah, the stigma that's attached with it, and like, and let people live and enjoy their lives. Same things goes for like, you know, trans issues or gay rights or whatever, you know, like people should just be allowed to live their lives. And
so true. I think that there definitely is this stigma. Like you, I'm single. And I think a lot of people, there's pity towards single people.
Yeah. It's patronising.
But it is. And people think that you must be really lonely if you're single. But actually, I think there's nothing more lonely than being in the wrong relationship or with someone that, you know, it's not going to work out. You might have just grown apart or you're not meant to be together. Mm-hmm. And actually, sometimes being alone can be the most independent and the most
empowering
thing for you. Yeah. Empowering, yeah, completely. So, yeah. Pity isn't needed.
Take your pity elsewhere. No, it's true though. I mean, it is something that I think like single people have to deal with quite a lot. And I wasn't like being like boohoo about it when I was talking about it with my friend, but like, I just think that like, you know, a little bit more like openness to the way people choose to live their lives and sort of compassion for people rather than that sort of pity thing. When I've literally got my coupled friends constantly whinging about their partners.
Yeah. And I think as well, sometimes it's good to spend time alone. Like I've got some friends that literally will break up with someone on a Monday and by Tuesday, Wednesday, they're with someone else. So no tea, no shade, whatever you want to do. I'm a big believer in that. I think it's important after a relationship to have some time alone to kind of find yourself again.
Process it all.
And think about what you want in a partner.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, sometimes it's not until you are alone that you kind of think, well, this is what I want. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a penny drop moment.
100%. Totally agree with you, Bob. Well, our second guest and former host of the show, Joanna, is here. So let's get her in and have a chat.
Let's get her in.
Oh, you're on mute, Joanna. Jesus Christ.
Can I hear? Yeah, I can.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Hi.
How have you been, babe?
Yeah, I've been good. I've been good. Do you know what? I'm still living at home. I'm looking into getting a house, but I'm still living at home. And literally, my nan just absolutely shit me up. I just saw her in my mirror, and I was like, "Who is that?" And I was like, "My nan." So I just had to tell her to get out a little bit.
Get out. Oh, Joanna, it's so nice to see you. It's been so long.
I missed you.
How have things been for you? What have you been up to? You've been like busy. I mean, all I see these days is you all over TikTok wearing new outfits. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Like, honestly, life is like crazy. Like, I mean, I don't even get a second to breathe. But I mean, if I have one day spare, I'm like calling management up, like, why have I got a day off? Like, why is it here? But yeah, it's been manic. I've been really good, just getting on with it. Yeah, my own little bubble right now. I'm just like, just powering through. But yeah, it's been good. How have you guys been?
Really good. It feels really like such good. A long time since you were doing. Well, it was like 2 years ago, right? When we were doing the show together. Now,
I mean, I'm 25 now, turning 26 this year. I'm having a quarter life crisis, guys. So let's not think about 2 years ago. I'm 25.
I'll tell you what, wait another 5 years, because I had that moment when I hit 30, like literally from the day I turned 29, for 12 months, I was shitting myself about it. Just in my head, I had this weird thing. I was like, by 30, I've got to have my ass, husband, like things that we've kind of inherited that you're told you have to have. And it's like, how old fashioned is that you kind of have to have your husband, your ass, and your little Yorkshire Terrier all by the age of 30?
This is the thing. Two of my friends in my group, there's six of us from school, and two of them are just had a baby. So I'm sitting there with them and I'm like, right, okay, should I be at this stage? I'm still going on nights out. I'm still living my best life. And then next thing, I just turn around. I was like, one baby's on the boob. The other one's pooing. The nappy got changed twice in a second. I was like, I'm definitely not ready for kids. But, you know, time is ticking. It's crazy. But it's also a biological clock that all of us girls have, and we all start panicking a little bit. But I think I need to just calm down a little bit.
You've got at least 10 years, Joanna, so I wouldn't worry too much.
Even I've hit that, and even though I've not got a girl's biological clock, I've definitely realised that only very recently I've become I know I've always wanted to be a dad. I've kind of gone through this right broody period, and I'm kind of like, I think in my head, I always, again, it sounds really weird. I think it's things as you're growing up, but I wanted to be what you'd call it, a young dad.
Too late now.
Now, at the age of 35, I'm thinking, even if I had a child tomorrow, which is physically impossible because it'd have to be 9 months down the line, so I'd be pushing 36 by then, I'm no longer, there's no way on earth I'd be a young dad at the school gate anymore. And that's kind of like, it's a bit of a thing like, shit.
Life just cracks
on and you don't know.
It does. And for a second, I'll be like, oh, I could read with a child, and I'm with them for 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, I could have that back time.
I could really do with a child.
No, honestly, my dogs are more than enough, like take up so much of my attention. I'll stick with that for now. And then when it's time, so the time will come. Yeah, and I feel ready, hopefully.
Amen.
So what is it like doing all of this sort of TikTok stuff that you do now? Because I remember when we were back at, like, you were like filming TikToks before the people were even like really thinking it was a thing. And now you're like huge on there, right? Like, what's that like? It's like crazy, like having to constantly think of content and all that stuff that you do.
It is crazy. I do think TikTok's quite ruthless, though. There is a lot of young children on there, so they probably think they would say something on there and, like, no one would take it personally. But it's got to the point where, like, I get this weird amusement out of them just ripping into me. So it's
really?
Like, if I look stupid, I'm like, do you know what? I'm like, I know that they're going to rip into me, and it's kind of fun. So I think, do you know what? Sod it. But I think TikTok's all about, like, the stripped back version of you, like just showing your personality, having fun. Like, it is crazy. And like, I'll sit there and be like, oh my God, I haven't uploaded a TikTok in 2 days. And I have this little shit fit. And I'm like, oh my God, no, quickly got to go back to doing it. But TikTok's amazing. It's so much fun. Like the trends as well. And like,
how do you come up with the ideas though? Like, that's the thing. Do you watch other people and get inspired, or like, I don't know.
Well, each person, like everyone's profile has got the reason they've got like sort of like a theme, the reason they get their views.
Yeah.
And mine would be scenario. So if I just do like a funny sound and I put a funny scenario, they would normally get the views because people like them. So I'd be like, oh, when like I did one when a tarot card reads, I told you they're the third person in the relationship. And like, it's just funny, relatable situations where some people get in more for like doing like more acting style stuff, or some people get it from more looking really good. I mean, if I try and look good in one of my TikToks, people, they're just like sod off. I can
stop. Oh, really? You get no reaction to that? You get like...
No one gives a shit. If I look nice, no one gives a shit, honestly. But if I literally just act like an idiot, everyone's like, that is funny. Like, I'm going to interact with that. So
it's know your niche. But,
yeah, you find your niche as you go along. But obviously, I started that nearly 3 years ago now. So, yeah, and I mean, I'm glad I jumped on it then because I sort of understood it a bit more. Whereas I think a lot of people, they're catching on to it now and they're sort of still trying to find their feet with it, which is fine. But I did it 2-3 years ago. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, you were good. You were on that bandwagon.
100%. It's been so much fun, though. Even, like, I'm doing a lot of work now. And, like, I'm bringing TikTokers on or, like, even like some of the work I'm getting put on, like filming and stuff, it's a lot of the time they're actually choosing TikTokers as well because they're just like, it's so mad how big the app is now. It's just crazy. So yeah, it's so much fun. And like, I mean, I had I did filming the other day and it was hilarious. Like the TikTokers, they just got so much personality. They just don't even understand how big they are as well. So they're still down to earth, which is quite nice as well.
Yeah, it's a nice world.
I did about 5 in lockdown.
I saw yours, Bob. You were lip syncing to yourself, weren't you?
Yeah, it was
quite good.
I was just sat there because I can't, like everyone, just bored counting down the hours in the house in lockdown. Phone was just blowing up where people was reacting to my scenes over the years on Tailway.
Yeah.
I thought, sod it, I'm going to react to... Which is a really weird thing, reacting to things
yeah,
you said. Yeah, it kind of completely takes the fourth wall out. But I can see how it becomes quite an addictive thing for people, like watching it and how people spend hours on it, because there's no end to that scrolling down, is there? It's not like any other app. So you can lose an hour in no time.
It is literally like it's quite concerning. I feel like sometimes when I'm on it, I'm going through it, and then I get like 3 hours in, and then I feel really overstimulated. I kind of feel like I'm like thinking of ideas, and I'm like saving it, and then I'm getting like really stuck in. It is genuinely that. Apparently, in like I think it's Japan or somewhere, they've actually restricted what they show on TikTok to be actually more inspirational rather than entertaining because it's so addictive now. So I think people are realizing like how addictive like TikTok is, and I just love it too much to give it up ever.
I did one. Well, I've done a couple of videos, but the first one I did, which was a surprise to me, considering I got 27,000 views, and it was just a picture of me with, I'm obviously a hairy man. There's a niche for this hairy man.
Same. Don't freak out over it. Yeah.
But the funny thing was that I was getting comments being like, sir, this is an app for children. And then I was like, oh my God, am I a pervert? Does everyone think I'm a pervert? Like, because I am old compared to most of the people on TikTok. But then, you know what I mean? You scroll and, you know, there's niches for everyone all over the app.
You was living your best bit.
Yeah, I thought I was just having a nice time. And then everyone's like, who are you, disgusting old man? And I was like, oh God, I'm not even 40.
It's like you just post it and just don't know what reaction to do. It's like jumping in the deep end. It's literally like jumping in fire and thinking, am I going to burn? Am I going to survive? And you just go along with it. But even little things like the Eurovision sort of United Kingdom singer,
Sam Ryder. Yeah.
So if he wasn't for TikTok, would he be doing it? And it's just crazy how big it's gone. But I mean, he's got like 12 million followers on there. I mean, I'm nothing compared to that yet.
Yeah. We'll get you there eventually, Jana.
Soon come.
You've also been, I saw you, you've been made an ambassador for Down Syndrome Association, right?
Yeah. Tell us
a bit about that.
So I don't really talk about it often because I sort of like, I kind of suppress it a little bit. So my uncle, he had Down syndrome and he passed away when I think I was in my teens. I can't remember what age, maybe 15 or 13. And he's always been sort of the only one that sort of hurt me since passing because not many people actually passed in my family, passed away. And then I thought, over the years, I was like, what charity can I be involved in? And it only hit me one day. I just thought, let me just quickly search up any charities that are involving those with Down syndrome. And I found this association and we got in contact with me and my management and we're like, do you know what, let's see what they're about because I have to sort of, I want to feel a part of something rather than just being like, oh, I'm an ambassador for this. Like, it just doesn't, it's not, I don't think that's a good look. I want to actually be involved in something.
Yeah, that's good.
So we organised to go up there and it was, I'm so glad I didn't do it over Zoom. Like, I just literally was like, no, I want to go up there. I travelled 2 hours with my manager and it was the most beautiful place. Literally, it was this this sort of big building on a green, and the actual building was founded by the person who actually discovered Down syndrome.
Oh, right.
So there's so much history behind it. And we went in there, and everyone, like, that you could see, like, they've got pictures of, like, everyone on the walls and stuff. And, like, I was like, oh, what, so what are these pictures about then? And she said, oh, we're celebrating people who have made it over 50, who have got Down syndrome, because they are known to pass away, sadly, like, quite a young age.
Right, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's, like, it's quite a known thing with them. And it was just the way they're celebrating. I sort of got emotional in there. And I'm, as you're aware, I'm not very an emotional person. I sort of laughed through everything. I bantered through everything. And it just hit me. And I was like, do you know what? All I want to do right now is help. So we're going to be doing events together to raise awareness. They've got a photography competition coming up as well. And they want me to be a judge on the panel. I even said, like, why don't... Because I was like, do you need help with anything in particular? And they were like, we'd love to your help with TikTok. And I went, do you know what? What we'll do is we'll have a day, like, we'll get 20 of us, and we'll do TikTok, spread awareness through TikTok, because it's such a big platform. And we'll just make it really lighthearted and fun and everything. And, like, yeah, so we're going to be doing that as well. And I just said to him, like, I want to be doing weekly stuff with you guys. I don't want it to be, like, just a name and say I'm an ambassador for this. Like, I actually want to get stuck in and help you guys. And they did say they want me to jump out of a plane for Down Syndrome Awareness Ooh. Week. And I was like, I'll do it if I get life insurance.
Oh, you're brave.
I'll do it. I'll do it for the cause 100%. But do you know what? Like, I've, like, finally found my niche, and I finally found that the sort of, like, the charitable thing I want to be a part of. And, like, even my manager was like, where did this come from? Because obviously I sat down, I just, like, burst into tears. I was like, I just saw my uncle in my dream. He's not been in my dream for so long. Maybe it's a sign to be, like, to start helping out and stuff. And yeah, and they're just amazing. And I just can't wait to just get stuck in now. I'm so ready. I'm already messaging them, like, okay, what's next? Like, what are we going to do?
They're going to be like, can you leave us alone?
They're going to be like, leave us alone, okay? We need help out this week. I'm like, I've got like 3 days here. Do you want to come down? But no, they're amazing. And you know, I did work in a special needs school and stuff as well. And my degree's in psychology. So I have that love for it. And I kind of feel like I've actually not sort of helped out in a while, if that makes sense. Like, I've always been grown up to help other people, and especially those with special needs and stuff. And now I just sort of, like, thought, do you know what, I've actually, like, taken a step back from work and just had, like, a little breather for a bit. And I'm like, right, let's find my niche and get stuck in there, and of course work as well. So yeah, I got DM someone saying, like, do you get paid for this? And I'm like, no, this is not a paid thing. Like, not everything we do to support someone you get paid for, like, it's but yeah, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
That's great. Great to have that.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
How is the love life, Joanna? Come on, tell us.
Oh, Stephen, I knew you were going to ask that. I knew it. I mean, as you're aware, it's hard to date in this day and age. The men are of a certain kind and certain breed, you know. I mean, I am talking with someone, but like, new. So I'm just keeping it just very quiet right now and just seeing how it goes. But yeah, it is. It's hard, and I mean, a lot of my relationships fail. So, you know, I'm not surprised if this failed as well. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Well, we were actually just saying, weren't we, Bob? We were just saying earlier on, we're actually, like, being single is nothing to be ashamed of. You know what I mean? People can be happy singles. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I did go to a wedding on the weekend, and, like, I was sitting on a table, and everyone had a relationship on the table. Like, I was, like, sitting amongst them. I was like Cupid. Like, if anyone needs anything, you know, you just come to me. I'm like the one at the front. And then they started bickering in their couples. And at that point, I was like, I'm glad I'm single. That was the only moment in my whole entire life I've been glad of being single. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I am single, but when I'm chatting to someone, we'll just see how it goes, and fingers crossed it ends in something. Who knows?
And I think the thing is as well is I'm a big believer, what's meant to be will be.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, I'm so busy with work at the moment. It's so hard to even have time to date and have time to go out. And especially, as you know, probably being in public eye and stuff, it's so hard to even, you know, where do we go? Like, do we just go to a club and hope that we don't get seen? And you can't even go out for dinner. You've got to go with a group of people because no one will think that you're on a date with that particular person. So it's so hard. And I kind of feel like after the show, it has been a lot more difficult. And I find that, like, I mean, when I go out, I don't really... No one really comes up, meaning boys, no one comes up to speak to me in like a dating, flirting way. It's quite like just men shouting out a window. That's about it.
So true. I definitely think that men care. I mean, you can't generalize all of them, obviously.
No, you can.
I think a lot of men are intimidated to go up to someone off the TV in the public eye.
Yeah,
because a lot of me and my friends say that we're like, gosh, like, we don't know why, but I just think some men find it intimidating what we do.
100%. And like, I'm the most down to earth, just normal person. Like, yeah, obviously I do like Instagram and I've been on a show and stuff. But you know, what I always say is I want that rom com vibe. You know, when someone walks yes. into like a cafe and they're like, oh, I'll get that for you. Like, hi, what's your name? And I'm like, hello, I'm Joanna, actually.
Yes, I will accept your marriage proposal. Thank you.
Literally, exactly. Do you want to get down on one knee, like, right now? Yeah. I totally accept. Like, I want that rom com vibe. And I mean, like, through Instagram, like, you chat and even over the phones, and I kind of feel like, do boys write letters anymore? You know, stick them in an owl?
No, they don't. No, there ain't no letters, babe. You might maybe a DM here and there. But I know what you mean about the rom-com thing, because have you ever been on like a tube or a train and seen a right salt and be like, that's a bit of me? And then in your head, you kind of think, well, this would be a lovely little story, wouldn't it? But nothing, he gets off the next stop and nothing comes.
You never see him again.
But I'm sure I've met the love of my life a couple of times on the Central Line. We've never spoke. But
this is the thing. To be fair, I was actually sitting I was in Central London. I was having lunch and stuff. And it was the first moment this ever happened to me. And I sort of looked in the distance and I caught someone's eye. And it was a good looking boy and everything. I was like, oh, Selfridge's bar, looking cool, looking chilled. And then he looked around to me and I thought, no, he's not looking at me. So I just continued what I was doing. I can't remember what I was doing. I was going for my bag. I turned around again. He was looking at me again. I was like, this could be it. This could be that rom-com moment. And then I thought, I let it just go on, let it simmer, you know. And then he actually came to the restaurant, went inside and ate. And I thought, he's going to come out and say hi. Got to come out. And he sort of walked out, went on the street, stared at me again, just walked off. And I thought, I'm actually sick of this. I'm sick of it.
And then you made you think that could have been my husband there.
Yeah, I'm resigning. Okay, I'm resigning from this rom-com situation. From this, like, I'm just not having it anymore. Like, I was just like, surely this one moment, I was like, this could be it. This could be that like natural situation. But no, and I did check my DMs thinking, if he DMs me, I'm going to be fuming.
But the thing is, if no one has the arsehole to go up to each other and say hello, or do you want to swap numbers, or do you want to swap it? Am I even showing my exchange swap numbers? Do you swap Instagram handles now? What do you do?
Well, I think if it's good like point. Someone I don't know anything, I would literally be like, oh, just follow me on Instagram and then I'll check them out a little bit and say, like, are you my type? Because you can meet someone in person, their Instagram is so cringy and you're like, absolutely not, that's just not for me. Like, I'm not going ahead with it. But with that boy, he did have sunglasses on. So I was thinking about it after and I was like, maybe he was looking at the actual restaurant and thinking, is that the restaurant over there? And I thought he was thinking at me, looking at me.
And you're like, oh, hi.
And you're left never knowing. It's a forever what if, isn't it? He wasn't exactly the one, though, because it weren't fate. If it was fate, he would have come over with his Selfridges bag, took his glasses off and said, babe, do you want a strawberry daiquiri?
I'd be like, yes, please. Thank you. I'm like, absolutely. But hopefully one day, you never know. But I mean, chatting here and there is okay. But I don't know if that's not even dating, is it? I don't even know what dating is. I've been single for 3.5 years.
Joanna, it's been so nice to see you again, and you're welcome on any time. So thank you. And nice to see you doing so well. I'm really pleased for you.
Thank you so much. So good to have be back on here. And hopefully see you guys soon. Miss you all.
Miss you.
Take care, bye, darling. Bye.
Bye. Oh, that was so nice. What a nice little reunion. And what a lovely show.
Such a lovely show. We're not here next week, are we? You're going away. Tell me more, Italy.
Going to a gorgeous little island in Italy where I'm just going to sit around by the pool and drink wine for a week. Have a lovely time. And so, yeah, we won't be here next week. What have you got planned over the next week? Anything exciting?
I think I'm hoping by the next week I should be pretty much sorted here at the new place.
All boxes done.
All boxes done. There's still a few, but they're like in the spare in which I can get sorted as and when. But I'm not putting pressure on myself at the minute because I keep looking at them, but some things I can't do because I want to get like some new wardrobes all fitted into the spare room, kind of make like a wardrobe / dressing room.
Okay.
So there's no point opening up certain boxes to then put them back in there, so kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Fair.
Which stresses me out a little bit, not gonna lie, just keeping the door shut. Can't see it, even though I think I know they're in there, but I'm not opening that door.
Well, they're not gonna sort themselves out by themselves, Bob, are they? So no, you'll have to do them at some point.
Gotta get a man round to measure up and help me do the wardrobe, and then good to go, babe. And then hopefully patio furniture will arrive for the sun. You'll be back from holiday.
Lovely.
Who knows, maybe in a couple of weeks I'll be sat outside recording the show.
Oh, lovely. Wouldn't that be a treat? All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Great show as ever. Thanks, Bob. And we will be back in a fortnight.
Bye, guys.
Bye.